We're on Reish Lamed Aleph. We saw the tikkul from the Baal Nesivos HaMishpat, Rabbi Yaakov Lissa. The two dynamics, whether Klal Yisrael is hoivim or roim, when they're doing what they're supposed to do or not, Savokois or Begeda Ayelois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the Umas Lo Yedem make an oath. If Klal Yisrael does what they're supposed to be doing, good. And if not, I need you guys to come and whip them into shape. Wilma Soil will cause us tsa'at until we do tshuva. That's the word from the Stivus HaMishpat. Now we want to clarify things a little bit. Nivayer is Oimek Dvarav, right at the bottom there in Reish Lamed Aleph. Let's try and understand this. By the way, you don't have to look too hard in history to see that is the history of the Jewish people. We always were very happy and content and very successful in the goluses we went into. Anybody who studied anything about Jewish history knows. Klal Yisrael in Bavel were unbelievably well-treated and well-taken care of. There were entire cities that were only Jewish and the government gave them whatever they needed. They were honored. The kings even honored the Rebbeim, who were terrible. We know what America looked like when the Yidden first came to America, the freedom of religion. When Yidden came to Spain, also, there were Gdol Yisrael who sat on the government in Spain, and we know what happened in the end. And that's been the entire Jewish history of the Golus. You go into Golus, everything's fine, everything's great. You start forgetting about why you're there. You start forgetting about Machov Osa Baloma, Hashem sends the going to wake you up. That's the Jewish history. We'll be watching it unfold before our very eyes. Upipnei chatanu galinu me'atzenu. Because of our sins, we get kicked out there, and then you land up somewhere else. Avigdor Miller 50 years ago said, we'll end up living in Japan because America is not going to be so pleasant to live in if we don't get it right. America was a Gan Eden. South Africa was a Gan Eden. And then you forget why you're alive. You forget what your mission is. And then Hashem says, this is exactly what's being said here. He brings it from a pasuk. We see it in the world. It's always been like that, right? Anything new? Germany, Europe was a haven for the Jews. Poland was an untold haven for the Jews for 1,000 years. And what happened? The Holocaust.
It's not the right place for the Jewish people.
Knock on, but we could have left there pleasantly without the goyim beating us to death. That's what happens. We forget. Machav Osa Bolomoy, Nachon. V'navaris Oymek Dvorov. Mitayel Etzmeinu Shnei Sugu Yehudim. Let's try and understand this problem. There are two types of Jews. Toivim v'roim. Tzvokois v'ayolois hasadeh. From the marshal, from Shir HaShirim. Ha'adim ha'toivim ha'im begedet tzvois Hashem. V'leichme milchomas Hashem. What's called the tzvois Hashem. Those are the ones that fight the wars of Hashem. Those are the Jews that keep the Torah, the Mesiris, and the ones that are loyal to Hashem. Hashem warns the Goyim, don't mess with those guys. Don't interfere with their avodas Hashem. You leave them alone and don't cause any dissension or hatred between me and those children of mine. They're mine, I'll take care of it. Those are the loyal ones to Hashem. Sometimes they will come upon you as a test. You'll see, but we're not talking about this. That refers to those Yidden that have slipped in their Yiddishkeit and are not keeping the rots in Hashem. Vayim b'chinas ha'yelis ha'soda, v'b'chinas ad she'techafetz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu manyen she'yishuvu b'koichas atzmo. Hashem wants him to return. There's no question, not for 1 minute, that Hashem's abandoned anybody, thrown anybody out. There's no way back. Ein davar kazeh. Ein davar kazeh. Drive that out of your mind. Hashem wants them to come back. and he wants them to come back on their own. He gives them time to come back. But if you don't have a choice, the times, you know, they're about to become chomets, they're about to get burned in the oven, you have to take them out. Then Hashem will squeeze you into doing tshuva. But either way, Hashem wants you to do tshuva. So you can either do it out of your own understanding and recognition, or if it's already getting late in the day and Hashem needs you to do tshuva and you're not getting the message, because he sends messages along the way. You know, first the washing machine stops working and then something else stops working. You do tshuva good. If not, there's this melech kasha. Well, it says melech kasha, should have said melech rosha, melech sorry. Melech kasha, don't know that. I'm going to look, they talk about that. Kahaman and he'll wake you up. Those are the two dynamics here. And as we've been showing, that those are the two portions of the Akedah. That's the whole story of the Shchitas Ha'ayil. Two types of Jews. There's more, but for the purpose of this discussion, we're cutting the cake very limited. They're those Jews that are like Yitzchak. The Tzvois. They're doing the rots and Hashem. Brilliant. The whole life is dedicated to Hashem, and their purpose is to makadosh Hashem while they're alive. He's oked. He takes his desires and he binds them to Hashem's desires, or he binds Hashem's desires to him. He doesn't get killed. At the last minute, the Malach says, hey, stop. So, he doesn't have to die. We got the message. He's running around free. Chofshi ba'ad seinu, as they Rahman and Islam put up the post with all of it down. Chofshi ba'ad seinu. That's the Alanis, that's the Ayela Sasode. They flitter about free like a bird, hanging out with Umas Oilam, completely immersed in the Goyish world. Mistabech behem venechas behavleim, Mishigur Sayem, Hevleim, completely caught up in the Hevel and then the nonsense and the Mushugaskites of the Goyish world. Kedivre Chazal, Besvach Bekanov, entangled in that thorn bush. By their horns. That's how your children are going to look in the future. They're going to be tangled up in the Goyish world. They're going to go from one sorrow to another, from one king to another. They're going to bounce them around until eventually they decide to wake up. Like the little... Isle in the Sodom. They can either come back to Hashem and Makadosh Hashem Shemayim while they're alive, or not going to be so pleasant. And that's been the history of the Jewish people in Golos. But as we get closer to Mashiach and the time's running out, so it gets much more intense. There are these tzvois that do my rotson in the world, and I do their rotson for them. All there's this Ayala Sasada. They spill blood al Kedusha Shmi to Makadosh Shem Shemayim, but the blood of the Tzvi and the Dam of the Isle. Hodudiksib, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki Alecha Hargonu Kol Hayoi. This is a midrash in Shira Shirim Chazal. You have to go learn a midrash. Until we come to a door of Shmad, going to have permission to arouse my love. When the desire comes upon Hashem, when he sees the need, the blood will be spilt like the deer, the buck, whatever you want to call it in the field. Bambi. Ad kana midrash shirashirim, perik base, perik chof, I don't know what it is. Psiktocha, whatever. The pattern is very simple. He's elaborating it and giving different examples. It's very simple. There's two types of Jews. The one's called Tzvois, the other one's called Yelas HaSodeh. Tzvois are the ones that are Makadosh Shem Shemayim B'chayot, and the Goyim have no heter to touch them, to go near them, because they've been Makadosh Shem Shemayim while they live. That's the symbol of Yitzhak Avinu on the Akeila. Then you get the Yid who's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. There's two types of Yid. He's not doing the Ratzon Hashem. So Hashem waits for him to do tshuva on his own. When he does it, whatever the Ratzon, the divine wisdom decides, the time has come. He gives the goyim freedom to wake up the Jews. Wait. That's the symbol of the ayil.
That can't possibly be true.
Well, it's a midrash mafureshet.
What about the Kohanim?
Yeah, okay. No, so you want to ask a question, ask a question. No, you're not asking a question. You're attacking. No, that can't be true. Why not? This could be true. You have a question from the Matthias. Okay, very good. Good. We'll see. Nachon. I said we're cutting the cake very limited here. Very limited. Of course, we'll see. Many cheshbonos in Shemayim, which we don't understand and can't understand. We have to understand why it is sometimes that the tzaddikim get caught up in these Zeirus Shemayim. The question, if you want to articulate it correctly, and if this is true, how it is, we see that tzaddikim also go through this. So there you have to superimpose and plug in and integrate into the sugya. The sugya of tzaddik v'ra'lo. We have to see how that works.
Good.
So, and there's klal and prat. That's another sugya that has to be inwoven in here. Okay. So we're working like mamash two-dimensional here. This is a five-dimensional system, and we're working with two of the dimensions. We're going into the Shoresh and understanding the genetic core of these two dynamics in the world. But of course. Whenever you're learning, you have to do that. Let me explain to you why. Every piece of Torah you learn contains the entire Torah. Like every cell in your body contains the entire genetic code for the entire body. We've spoken about that, right? So when you're learning Abba, Ava, Isnezikin, included in there is Kulu Torah Kulu. So you won't understand what Abba, Ava, Isnezikin means until you've learned the whole Torah. But as you're learning the whole Torah, you won't understand what that means because you haven't understood Abba, Ava, Isnezikin properly. It's a multiple looped feedback system at best. So that's what's going on here. Of course. So all you can ever do is understand this in isolation. Take one cell out of the body, put it under the microscope, have a look at it, understand it as best as you can. But you won't really understand it until you plug it back into the system, see how it unravels and connects to the entire system. That's what whenever you're learning, you always have to go back and revise what you originally thought. Because you learn something new, changes everything you ever knew. So whenever you're learning, you have to know what the limitations, Makiris Makoim, you have to know what the limitations of the application of this particular thing is. And that's why to Paskin Halacha, you need to know Kulu Torah Kulu. Because there could be one little halacha out there that you didn't know. You know, when you wrote your rabbinical exams, you got 90%. And the question the guy's asking you is that 10 you didn't know. And you go to the doctor, that's either 90% of my medical exams, your problem's in the 10 I didn't learn. Can't help you. So that can happen in Pesach. You could miss the plot. You have to know the whole Torah because everything impinges on everything else. So you're always, always dealing with one cell under the microscope and understanding this. Then you take this and you plug it back into the system and grapple with all the questions that are being raised. And at the end of the day, the things you don't understand, you'll say Vitzarichir and go weiter. The restraining do that. Moses never says Vitzarichir. He doesn't have an answer to his question and he goes weiter. Yeah. There's always going to be more questions than answers. That's the nature of the infinite. When you're finite and you're grappling with infinite, there's always going to be more you don't understand than you understand. It has to be that way. Otherwise, either you find infinite or the Torah is finite. Let me ask you a question a little bit more Jewishly. When the Germans started tempering with the Yidden in Berlin, everybody said, Verstehe, to understand. You know, the assimilation in Germany, the scholar, Verstehe. Then they came into Poland, and people said, yeah, for sure we understand. The Bundesstaat and the communism and the Yidden, that we understand for sure, that we understand. Yeah. And then they took Rabbi Hanan, they took Rabbi Avraham, and they took the Klausenberger Rebbe. And now what do you say? What happens to your Torah Mogunum? What happens to what you just said about the Tzaddikim? Yeah, for sure, we understand Berlin. We understand Poland. For sure, we understand. Tel Aviv, of course, we understand. You understand nothing. Because in the end, they took Rabbi Hanan. So what do you understand? Gornisht, Gornisht. That's what you understand. When those Arabs came into what was that place called Mecca, the Shiva, and thought, what was it, eight Kedoshim Bokhri, while they were sitting and learning, you didn't have kashas about what about Torah Mogunum Matzil? No, because they wear blue shirts. You're not be clean as gomel. You're not be clean as gomel to talk about that. You have a kasha? Torah Mogunum Matzil? You have a kasha. How are you going to solve your kasha so you're going to sleep tonight calm? Yeah, because they're not exactly. They're not be kairos. You don't understand Torah. You don't understand anything about anything. I heard people saying that. What do you know about anything? Person sitting learning Torah? So he's not wearing the same kippah as you. So now we understand why he got shot. Because that's not really Torah. You understand the problem? So you have a very uncomfortable kasha. What happened to Torah Magor Amatzil? Okay, sorry if you don't have a kasha. I don't know what to do with that kasha. It's a very uncomfortable kasha. We have to understand. You with me? That's how I understand the kasha.
Why is he asking?
The guy that says that? Why is he not Pekoyrus? Because Torah's Magor Amatzil. That's sitting and learning Torah. He's learning Torah.
We see.
What do you care? And they took Rabbi Hanan. So what? So what was wrong with his shirt?
There are exceptions.
There's exceptions. Fine. So you're already into the answer. So you're into the answer, but you're not prepared to face the difficult question that sticks in your throat. What happened to Rabbi Magid Umatzil? What happened to that? That's a tzarich yun.
You say trying to play infinite and attribute reason to it is not the core.
No. The reason that's because his Torah is not Larry Torah. That's up because. Because the Pasuk in Chumash is Torah and a Mishnah is Torah. And listening to a Shia is also Torah. It's not your Torah.
It's wrong, but why is it up to sports? I'm trying to understand.
On Shabbos. Mitzvah Boba Averim. I don't know how you cut that tape. That's a hard one to understand. I'm just saying that's, I don't know what you do with that. I mean, we understand that. We saw it. We were there. Ponovitcherov said that. He said there was no one in Bnei Brak that was a bigger Talmud Chochem than the people that were in South Africa in those days. He had made a seum. The Ponovitcherov made a seum one day in Johannesburg. And he told people, he said, there was a minion of Talmud Chochemim there. Okay? That there's no one in Bnei Brak bigger than them. And I was the only Shomer Shabbos. Okay, go for stay. It's not all or nothing. Again, I don't know. I don't know what you do with that. Those people were amazed at Shoigeg. They were finished in Ishbuk. I don't know whether that's called Torah. I don't know. Hashem pays you for the Torah you're learning and he whips you for the Chilul Shabbos. I don't know. That happened here as well. Ben Menachem told me they had a neighbor in Dushmonim there, in Ezra's Torah. Shabbos afternoon, he used to go into the Mateset with a Gemara and smoke and learn. You tell me that's not called Limud HaTorah, Hashem pays you for what you do. I don't know. That's what Tzarich here. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about when there's a Gzairah Shmad. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu sends us, we don't know. Why should he need these Kabonis, these eight Kabonis? Meron, you're going to start having pines about what? And we don't know. We can't process. It's at Reb Shimon, at the Kerub Shimon, that you understand that you've absorbed the trauma, you've dealt with that. But to start finding reasons, saying, yeah, for states, because they this and they this and they that, and they took Rabbi Hanan, you don't have any more they this and they this and they that.
There's no nonsense.
You don't understand. You're not because you're an epic. We don't understand right. Berlin either. Yeah, you don't understand anything.
Any reason.
Of course. If it stopped in Berlin, then maybe you could get away with saying, yeah, for states, Berlin, whatever. But you see, it's not like that. You see, the world doesn't act like that. If you look at all the asanot that have been going on in Kladisov over the last 10 years, great rubber are from people. And not just from people, exception from people. So you've got big kashas, okay. So what, you're running away from kashas? So think and analyze and think for ourselves what it means for us. Just to brush it off with a bit of, yeah, well, he's not like me, so I don't have to worry about. Yeah, well, he's from Elad. Yeah, so that's not got anything to do with me. He's not going to show a lie. I don't know. The ideal is Pesach sometimes says Tzarech Yom, and he goes right, and there's another person straight afterwards. You have to get on with your life. You have to carry on, but at the same time, you have hard kashas. It's hard kashas in life. Well, you've dealt with all the kashas you have from the Holocaust. Unravel and wrap those up all nicely in a nice little box with a bow on top and say, no, the Holocaust, I understand. I've got it here. We're not dealing with everything post and pre. I don't know. There are too many kashas. I don't know. Just look at the Holocaust. Just your own life, your own suffering, your own, the next door neighbor, the almana downstairs, the nine you're swimming running around in the park without a father while others upon him taking place. You've dealt with that. You understand that? No, so that was over.
Yeah, but it seems to be like quite unhealthy, you know, for me, I'm not talking about anyone else, to be spending too much time thinking about.
Like I said, sorry, in and go weiter.
Yeah.
Toysa didn't stop and say, listen, I can't write another Toysa. Toysa's never ever said, sorry, in, and there's no Toysa him after that. Because I'm stuck with this and I can't go weiter until I've solved this problem. No, you have to know it. Hey, a person has to balance his life.
What happens with the wrong reason.
Yeah, you brush it off quickly. Yeah, no, we understand why there was a. Yeah, we understand for sure. Yeah. It's his fault, her fault. There's a Rabbeinu Shalom Ilam here. You destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Let's get this clear.
Hashem.
The Gemara says,
right.
I destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. I have to pay for it. Hashem says it. You think Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis Hamikdash? He knocked down the walls of a broken building already. Nebuchadnezzar, that's who broke the Beis Hamikdash. I know a Yid who was in the Holocaust who didn't see any Nazis. He didn't see any Nazis. What are you talking about Nazis? All I saw was the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's what he saw in the Holocaust. He was there. His son-in-law told me. His father got up at the Sheva Brochel and said, I don't know what you're talking about. There were no Nazis. His father was killed. Rabbi Abram Grzynski was martyred in the Kovno ghetto. And he was there, and he said, I didn't see Nazis. What do you mean? Who killed your father? That's how those people lived. We're not holding them. We don't see it. We see Nazis. And you have a question, so you have a question. But you're not always going to get answers to your questions because the world's too big for us to grasp. If you can get answers for all your questions, it means you're as big as a ship. And then why am I davening to me as big as you, with all due respect? You need to think about this deeply. I mean, Tariq, you need to think about it deeply.
Prior to this morning, you might have said when you're thinking about the Holocaust or the basement set, yes, it's a Shema did it, but it's a repercussion because of us, right? Oh, what, why?
How many books have been written by the only Israel on this? Don't know the Sugya, it's like any Sugya. You shall only das. Go learn the sugya properly. Start at the beginning and learn the sugya. It might take you a few years to get clarity in the sugya. Plenty of Israel have had their opinions on why the Holocaust happened, what you can say, what you can't say, what you do know, what you don't know. So sugya, learn it up. You're not going to find out any answers in Yad Vashem, I promise you. You want to learn the sugya properly. Look at this sugya. That's what we're doing now. We're trying to understand suffering in the Shoroshim. And then it'll expand and we'll apply it and we'll work with it. This is just the skeletal form of beginning to understand the sugya of suffering. And we'll apply it to all these other things. But you're going to have a lot of big kashas on the way that you're not going to have answers for. And don't look for pissy little answers, you know, that are bordering on apikosis to try and satisfy yourself so you can go to sleep tonight.
Said something
that's different. What? No, there's a machlokes. Rav Hutna and Rav Miller didn't speak to each other for years because of their two opinions on the Holocaust. They ran the yeshiva together with untold respect and love for each other, but they had an enormous machlokes on what you can and can't say about the Holocaust. It was a very touchy, very raw subject 50, 60 years ago when people were crawling out of the gas chambers and crawling out of Auschwitz and trying to unravel and understand what had happened here. We're a bit removed from it a little bit. Our kids don't even know that it happened. For them, it's like Kriyas Yam Suf. The Holocaust and Kriyas Yam Suf is exactly the same distance for your kids. I'm saying that. So, okay, but they were dealing with it. That was mamash. The blood was still boiling. And they had to grapple with it.
Okay.
I never said that. No, the Ponovitcher Rov said that in terms of a level of learning, there was no one greater than. No one called him great Talmid HaChachamim. The person of Chalal Shabbos, you can't call a Talmud Chacham. They just knew how to learn better than anybody else. You can be a professor of astrophysics and be a behemoth as well. But we can't judge those people either. We don't know what their Nisoyin was. You know what they were going? We don't know. I don't judge other people. This guy crawled out of Europe and he learned. I had a grandfather who knew Rambam's Balpeh that wasn't famous Shabbos. So what? He went to Chayda and he learned and whatever. And then he left and he came to South Africa. And you needed to work on Shabbos to make a panasa. We don't know what these shayners were. We don't know what these people went through. We don't know what their poverty was. We can't. It's a mafurish mishnah that you shouldn't judge another person until you're standing in his shoes. So the mafurishim will say you'll never be able to stand in another person's shoes. That's what the mishnah is telling you. Don't judge another person. When you're standing in his shoes, judge him if you want to. But how are you going to get into his shoes? I can't even find a pair to fit me. I'm going to find a pair. Your shoes going to fit me. Ridiculous. But we tend to do that when we have real difficult theological questions. We tend to get rid of them with very heavy answers instead of being able to accept the question. You're sitting the bonus here. You ask a difficult question. Before the guy thought about it, he's already fucking out answers. Why can't you just settle and enjoy the question? Because the world doesn't, you weren't trained like that. Unanswered questions are not good. That's why when a kid asks a difficult theological question in class, he's running the risk of getting kicked out of cheder. Because rabbis don't like difficult theological questions. No? Nimrod was the forerunner of this. He didn't like the difficult theological questions. Avram was asking him, say, threw him into the fire. Today they send you to a psychiatrist. It's more or less the same thing.
Be clear. Realistic ideal. It's to be good. Question. Not to immediately deal with the question by coming up with my own.
Real means there's no ideal there. Real means I have a question and I accept the fact that I have a question.
Okay.
I accept the fact that there's something I don't understand. I'll make a note of the question. I'll come back. You understood every Rashi in Chumash you ever learned? Most you don't understand. So what do? Stop learning Chumash Rashi? That's one way. Go to Ramban. That's easier. I'm saying, so what do? So you keep learning Rashi, and hopefully one day, 10 years' time, you might see a Gemara or something like, oh, wow, now I understand what Rashi would say. That's the way it is. But you have these deep philosophical questions that touch us deeply, deeply. You have these traumatic experiences that happened, and we don't know how to process them. Don't throw them away with these pithy little, he's from, you know, whatever, in that town, they don't, and, you know, and those guys, you know, that's a really frum, I mean, they pretend or that. Get rid of, you know, your Avos Yisrael goes out the window. You don't understand anything. What are you coming up with? We understand everything. We understand why the typhoon hit New York and it didn't hit New Orleans or vice versa. I don't know. We understand nothing. We think, you know, Hashem's Hashgach is so beyond us. There's this whole story that when the Malach HaMavas gets given permission to go and do a Shemad, there's no distinguishing between Tzadik Varosha. How do you understand that? Hashem says, listen, things are bad out there. He says to the Malach HaMavas, go do what you have to do. And you have free reign. You can take anybody. Well, where's the Midah Keneged there? Where's the fair there? Where's the justice in that? You see, there's a certain Marecha that Hashem has where that system works. Why, how, where? I don't know. But you see, there is such a thing. Hard thing. We're dealing with the Suri of the Suri. It's a harder subject. And it's very personal. It's very personal. Why don't you meditate on this when you're in the grips of a migraine, chas v'chalila? Forget about, you know, the Holocaust. When you're in the grips of a migraine, or even better, when your kid's in the grips of a migraine and there's nothing you do to help, then start meditating and philosophizing about suffering in the world. Then what do? Or whether it's your own suffering, or it's a medical issue, or also whatever it is. At those moments to get warm and cuddly with the guy that's causing you the pain. Let's ask the question another way, maybe just to make it a little bit sharper. was asked once here in the Beis Midrash, for somebody who understands the sugya of suffering well, how do you get warm and cuddly with a guy that built Auschwitz? Who made Auschwitz? V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. You've got to get warm and cuddly, that's what v'ahavta means at a certain level, with a guy that made Auschwitz and the Inquisition. And how do you do that? How do you come to do that? Where do you start even beginning to work on that sugya? Okay, so that's what we're grappling with here. Okay, Baruch Hashem, it's 10 o'clock. And then, Metz Hashem, we'll go a bit further. The person who wrote the Sefer that we're learning was in the Holocaust, his Holocaust survivor. His entire family was there and they all escaped. His mother was in Auschwitz. I'm saying they have what to talk about the sugya. Brilliant.